listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Solo Catesy, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse.
I'm Jamie.
There we go.
We did it.
And we are joined in studio by the one and only Che Ami Dorval. Hello, Che, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Should I get up closer to this mic?
Sure, yeah, dig in.
Hello, I'm great. The one and only.
I mean, I assume so. I don't technically know that for sure.
We didn't fact check that, but
I like it.
We're just gonna assume. Yeah, that works. Welcome to our basement.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in and braving the snowstorm.
I know. It's so un-Vancouver of me. I left my house.
Holy smokes.
What?
You put on boots and everything?
I know.
My God.
Well. I've got heels on them.
Wow. You're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
I love the commitment. Love the commitment.
Yeah. We appreciate your dedication to coming and joining us here. We're very excited to talk about the new record, The Crowned, which is out now. Very great.
Thank you.
Long awaited.
Yeah, I'm super slow in a lot of ways.
I mean, there's a couple things that happened over the last couple of years.
Oh, right. And then there's that. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Half the songs were done before the pandemic, and then the other half came after. So I guess it's good that it's long awaited.
Because it wasn't ready.
Yeah, it just wasn't ready. I just needed that extra trauma.
It informs the best music, so it works.
Doesn't it just?
So did that grant you more time to sit with the songs? And like, did you end up tweaking and editing and maybe doing more with them that you maybe would not have otherwise?
No. Yes and no. There were five songs beforehand that were like, they were ready. They were ready, and I didn't touch them. And then there were like another six, or I have no idea how many songs were on this record.
I think it's 11. I think you got the math right.
There were another six that I've been messing with forever. And so, yeah, the pandemic allowed time to just sit with them and play. And then they made more sense with the other songs, and here we are.
Are you pretty sick of them at this point?
Oh, 100%. I'm always sick of them. As soon as they're done, the first draft, I hate every moment of them. No, I like them. I like these ones. Yeah.
And do you think, like, having those, the five already done, like, did you use those as references to, like, look back and craft the new ones, or did that just
That would have been a plan in action. That is not how I roll. No, I just put them all together in a way that made sense sort of lyrically also, sort of a timeline of whatever has happened in my existence, and then just hoped they made sense. And I think they do all together.
Feels cohesive. It feels like it's all one thing with a lot of different parts.
Yeah, which is so crazy because it was recorded and written in two different countries, with like a bunch of different sets of people, different times of my life. It's just, yeah, it couldn't be any further apart. But maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's like a compilation, like, record, you know? Like, the commonality is, like, the person, the feeling, and you're reaching out into, like, whatever sonic environment makes sense of that. Just, that was a weird sentence.
Well,
I don't know.
I think I get the gist of what you're saying there, where it's, like, it's all filtered through you, right?
Yeah.
If it's all being filtered through the same lens, then it doesn't matter that it's all these disparate experiences and parts and timelines.
Yeah. I love you. Your answer.
Just
that's what I'm here for.
Amazing.
Now, it is a pretty, like, I find it to be, like, very big and, like, dramatic It's very theatrical almost. Whereas, like, the mood and previous releases that you've had are similar. This one seems to be like far more, I guess, theatrical is the word I'll go with. Was that a conscious decision, or did that just unravel itself like that?
I think it unraveled, and I just grew up, and in growing up, all of the tiptoeing, all of the, like, insecurities and the, like, ooh, I don't know, sort of went out the window, and I just said and played whatever it was, bombastically, however I felt it in the moment, because I just felt like I didn't have any time to mess around, you know? And so, yeah, there was no... I've heard a lot of people say some of the songs sound like James Bond themes.
Sure, okay.
Which is great. Yeah. I love that. And maybe that's because it feels like life is one big James Bond adventure with villains just all over the place, and you're just trying not to die.
Yeah.
And that's this album.
Well, and I think there's something about, like, a lack of self-consciousness that plays into what Jamie's saying about, like, the theatricality or the drama of it all, is that, like, it's not always cool to be theatrical or dramatic, and it can very easily go the way of, like, oh, look how hard that person's trying, right?
Definitely.
But you manage on these songs to pull off this, like, to pull it off in a way that is, like, engaging and cool. So,
thank you.
Yeah, nice work.
Aw, thanks. I never feel cool, so that's great.
So what are we telling you? Softball questions from here on.
I love it. I'm living here forever.
let's get into, I was going to say the first song, but it's actually the last song on the album is the one that Che wanted to start with. What can you tell us about What Is Enough, Desired and Adored?
So, a fellow Vancouverite, Olivier Martin, and I wrote this together, and I just love it. It encompasses all of the music I listen to on my own. Like, it reminds me kind of Portishead and Massive Attack, and I've always wanted to sort of live in that realm, and with this song, I feel like I finally, you know, did my version of that vibe, and it's also just... It's just about, like, screaming out your desires, which, you know, feels nice. So it's like a positive, there are not many positive songs on this album, but this is one of them. And yeah, I just like it.
Great. This is What Is Enough from The Crowned by Che Ami Dorval here on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Thank you.
Is Enough, Desired and Adored by Che Ami Dorval, who is here live with us in studio here on the Vancouver Mixtape. Welcome once again, Che. I'm
going to
move this monitor so I can actually
see.
There we go. Oh my gosh.
What?
That is the last track on your new record, The Crowned. You mentioned a maybe a Portishead influence there, just trip-hop generally. We're talking on the break about our love of Portishead in particular. What is it about Portishead that appeals to you so much, and or maybe inspires you musically?
I love the darkness of it, the darkness and the grit, and obviously her voice is just like chilling, and she sounds a bit like a witch, and
a bit.
I love it, and it's just. It makes sense of the world. That's what the world looks like to me.
Mm.
And so she basically sings the world and makes it beautiful, even though it's terrifying. Like a witch. So
they're always such a funny band, because, like, even if it's the sunniest day in the middle of summer, if I, like, put on, like, Dummy or whatever, I'm just like, oh, cool, it may as well be raining.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's good rain.
And you know what? I love the rain, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we live here. We have to say that.
Yeah.
Try it on for size.
But like that, you kind of mentioned that track, and maybe you're being a little funny about it, but like you were suggesting that maybe What Is Enough doesn't get the love that it needs to.
Yeah, well, I mean, so.
But you said you really love that song.
I love that song. I love it. But I put it at the very end, which is, you know, not always the best idea if you want people to hear it, which I'm learning. I've now learned that.
It's interesting because, you know, some of my favorite albums of all time have that killer, killer last track,
yeah.
Right? And it can be such a big part of the album as an experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess today, you
it's not really
that's not how it's consumed necessarily.
No. And yeah, that's a good point. I feel like I created this album with that in mind. Like, it is a journey, and that song sounded, that does sound, there's a finality to it,
mm-hmm.
and just like a sigh out, a breath, like a, you know?
The end of a journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't really take the same types of journeys anymore, so don't put your best song, in your opinion, at the end of your record.
Do you feel the pressure to become a more singles-based artist? Like, I know you've released some singles of really great covers, which, quick side note, Jesse and I were, like, pretty obsessed with your cover of The Widow. Like,
oh,
we are big Mars Volta boys.
Me
so.
Too. Yeah, Mars Volta.
But do you feel that pressure to become more of a singles artist, or are you fine just keep on keeping on?
No, I don't feel any pressure, because I never really know what I'm going to do next, because, like, maybe I will be a singles artist. It does seem a little less, little easier, you know? So, and there's an appeal to that, for sure, but I guess I always wanted to have that one album that did tell a story, which, in my opinion, this one, for me, does. So now I just feel kind of free and loose, like I could do anything.
No pressure. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
We can do that ska band next.
That's funny, but I have discussed that with a few people.
Let's go.
I will play bass.
Hell yes.
I'm not singing.
I'm here for it. So you mentioned that there's you have a bit of a narrative through line for this record. Can you talk a little bit about what that narrative is to you, or maybe what some of the themes are that you reiterate
throughout
the record?
Yeah, of course. There's no like linear story, and I don't think I even really knew what the narrative was until actually I started doing like interviews and podcasts, and people ask me this question,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, what is it? You know, it feels like a story musically to me, and I know my life is a story because I live it every day, but like, I had no idea sort of what the story was, and then a few days ago, I took the time to listen to it through, to the lyrics, and it's really just like, it's just a bunch of heartbreak and loss, and then I can't say that word. I'm trying not to swear. How do you express yourself? Like a sort of like an FU moment, right?
Very skillful.
Thank you.
You dodged that like a pro. Are you doing radio?
So yeah, like hurt feelings, FU moment, a sort of like a rebirth, a finding yourself, and then a big old sigh. And like, you know, it's not an intricate story.
Hey,
everyone's
classic
been there.
Story structure. Right?
Yeah, the hero's journey. It's not at all, but we'll say it is.
Yeah. I like think you're the Luke Skywalker of this album.
Yeah. Thanks, man. More like the Chewbacca.
Hey, a beloved character.
Yeah.
But have you received any feedback from people that have dug into the album, like kind of relating to some of those themes that you've put in forward? Like, have people messaged you and been like, hey, like, you nailed it? Because, look, you've joked a lot about it being, like, dark and stormy, and while it is, it doesn't pull any punches on, like, the emotion you're trying to convey.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, has anybody, like, said anything to you about, like, these themes resonating with them?
They have, and I mean, like, with every song, you know, it means so many different things to so many different people. But, I mean, for me, this song is about almost like a death, right? Like a death of self, relationship. Even some of it's just, you know, regular run-of-the-mill death. And I've had a few people reach out in that regard, which is quite beautiful and quite heavy. To be like this, the solace in that stage of life or in that experience. But I've always wanted to, like, that's why I write and show it to people. I've always wanted, because that's what people do for me. Like, that's what gets me through the day, right? Like, connecting through music and, like, seeing your story reflected in some way and connecting with that. And so, yeah, some people have reached out and It's really beautiful. It's sad, but it's really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to be able to find the beauty in that sadness, right? Because otherwise it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And music, that's what music does. That's what it does for us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then also dancing.
Honestly, it's the two things we shoot for on this show, to either dance or to bum ourselves out.
Yes, and that's balance.
I think we should cut to another track off the record. Any recos from your end? Where should we go here?
Do we want to bum ourselves out more, or like what do we want? Or do we want?
I'm kind of interested to hear what is your happy dancey jam on the record? Like, what is the pick me up on the record?
The one pick me up. Okay, it's called Want That Soul. Yeah, but it's about death. But anyways, it sounds happy.
Hey. That's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
There's nuance in everything, folks.
Here it is, Want That Soul by Che Ami Dorval on the Vancouver Mixtape.
Your ghost may come. His heart's
Soul by Che Ami Dorval here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Che is in the studio with us this hour, guest curating this episode of the Mixtape, and we're chatting about the new record, The Crowned. That's the record that Want That Soul came off of, the Pick Me Up track that was still about death.
Yeah.
You were right, though. Great dancey groove to it.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't tell. You hide it. You hide it behind the music.
Exactly. Yeah. A good vibe shifter, but again, still the through line's there.
There you go.
You're dancing, but you're still bummed.
You're still just a little sad, and you don't know why.
So we mentioned, you mentioned earlier in the show that you had written and recorded five of the tracks on this record before pre-COVID,
yeah.
And then wrote the second six afterwards. You recorded the first five with Bob Rock.
Yeah.
That as a name is sort of like beyond the stratosphere of what producers of artists we usually have on the show.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about, like, what did working with Bob Rock bring to the music?
He's awesome. It's interesting. The way we did those songs, it was a collaboration. It was like a fluke. It was like a chance meeting that turned into, hey, do you want to mess around with some songs? And I was like, oh, of course I do. And so it was really casual, and we when he was in town, we'd go into the studio, which I'm not used to, because I usually just, like, I write and record on my own, and then if I'm working with somebody, I'll just send it to them. It's a very, like, solitary thing. But he's Bob Rock.
Sure.
So we'd go down to the warehouse and we'd just, like, fool around with music. And he's just, like, a solid, like, lovely, wonderful human who doesn't make you feel like there's no, everybody's equal. You're just people. You both like music. And, yeah, it's easy to create in that environment. And so, yeah.
Were there any, like, maybe lessons, or was there anything that you got out of that experience that, like, kind of changed the way that you approach your music now, or maybe informs how you approach writing and recording?
Yeah, actually, I got a lot out of that. There's so much to learn from him, obviously. He was talking about how when he was working with Gord Downie, because they just released an album, well, obviously posthumously, but Gord would, like, he wouldn't be finished with a song until, like, the lyrics of a song until he, like, sang the final take, like he was dragged away from the microphone and, like, the song's done, you know, like that lyric, that whole song was being written every single day, rewritten, rethought. And I've never worked like that. But yeah, Bob mentioned it, and with these songs specifically, I kind of tried that hat on, and now that's all I do, because everything, you know, time gives you the chance to sort of reflect on what things truly mean to you and how, like, what you want to convey, how you can convey it better. So, like, that, lyrically, he changed. It was a game changer. And then also, this is just basic, like, it does sound better in a studio.
Yeah, they have those for a reason, I guess.
They do. Yeah. So, yeah, I shall be using those more.
The rewriting thing is really interesting to me, because, like, for any kind of writing, like, if you're writing a short story, you're supposed to write it and rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it. And I guess I just never, I didn't really think about songwriting in that way, where you would, you know, just keep reiterating and figuring out, like, how to optimize it each time or whatever.
Yeah, I never thought about that either.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so, sometimes it just, when you songwrite, it's such a release.
It just comes out.
And you're like, oof.
Oh, that's done.
Yeah. And it's like, not necessarily. And, like, the things that can come from you just